The Brendan O'Connor Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Advice and expertise on the relief you need from hay fever at All Care Community Pharmacies across Ireland.
Owen McGee, presenter and author of How to Be Good with Money. Good morning.
Good morning, Brendan.
Owen, I suppose in a different way, this is it's kind of a bittersweet weekend for you. The economy is opening up, but people are dying to spend their money, aren't they? all that savings that you probably approve of, they're dying to get away and fritter it on hotels and outdoor dining and takeaway coffees and whatnot.
Absolutely. But you know what, Brendan? It's bittersweet, but I really, really want a good economy. Yeah. And the way we get the economy back on its feet again is for people like me to encourage people to spend lots and lots of money and just take that saving. Like, think about the level of savings we have. We've about 15 billion more in savings now than we did this time last year. Like, in an average month, we will save around, as households, people in Ireland will save on average around 443 million euros in a month. Last April, the first month of lockdown, we saved 3,000 million. We saved 3 billion in the month of April last year. Wow. That money needs to flood back into the economy. But what I would ask people to really consciously spend on Irish businesses. Okay. We need hotels, we need restaurants. There, the shops, like, there is nobody sitting in Berlin saying, I want to support the local shop in Tullamore. Yeah. You're the only person who can do that, and you really need to spend in Irish businesses.
Do you think we might have gone a bit stingy when people get out of the habit of spending? Like, look at the people bringing their cans into St. William Street now. You get a night out for like 10 or 15 quid. Are people going to be, you know, they are going to be a bit mean about the idea of spending all the money on meals and drinks again, aren't
they? Well, you see, this is where people like me get a bad, like, we get a bad name, all financial planners, it's all about penny pinching and not spending money and stuff. That's actually not the case. My attitude is, let's not spend money on things that don't add any value to your life. And you have to be really conscious about what way you spend. And we did spend a huge amount of money on things that just didn't mean anything to us. But when you do that and you scrimp and scrape and you don't spend on stuff that doesn't add value to your life, you then have more money to spend on the things that do add value to your life. And I do think restaurants are going to do well. I did a poll on my Instagram at one stage and about 12,000 people replied to it. Yeah. And I said, what did you miss most in lockdown? And what was really interesting was people kind of, restaurants, hotels, going to gigs. But actually, when I started pulling it back and looking at what was the theme amongst all of them, the theme was it was going to restaurants with people or going to gigs with friends. Yeah. And I do think people are going to spend on stuff like that again. I think people will be a bit more clever about it. But that's been happening. I remember the morning after an All-Ireland final, standing outside in the sun, having a beer, and people were going across the road to the spa and bringing it back over it and standing outside in the street outside a certain pub that would be typical of an All-Ireland final next day. And people have been doing that for a long time. We're cute.
Yeah. what you say there about people being conscious and realising what's important to them and everything. And I know you've had your own kind of reset in life. We'll talk to about that in a second. But you feel there is an opportunity, I know, here for people to, I suppose, a bit of a stock taking and to have a bit of a reset. You're suggesting that people should make a list of what matters.
Yeah, like, I do think there's the stuff you spend money on that add value to your life, the stuff that you spend money on that just doesn't add any value. And the only way you're going to get a real handle on what does and what doesn't is, if you don't know it immediately, is every time you spend money in the next week, take out your phone and write in, I spent, I don't know, €3 on coffee or €80 on a jumper or whatever it is, or €30 on a takeaway. Don't change your spending habits. Just write it down on your phone. And this next Saturday morning, when your show is over, take out your phone and look back over it. And ideally, take out a pen and paper and write it down. And something happens in your brain when you physically write it down with a pen and paper. And look at the list and say, if I was planning my spending next week, what would make the list and what wouldn't?
Okay, what mattered?
What mattered? Because the stuff that shouldn't make the list next week is the stuff that didn't add any value to your life. And just stop spending on that and you have more money to spend on the stuff that does add value to your life.
Yeah. And I think you're right. I think a lot of people are thinking, I might not need all this stuff I used to buy, but I want more experiences, and life is short and can change very quickly.
There was a lovely piece of research actually that looked at that, and they said, can money make you happy? And one of the things they looked at was, they said, they went out in the street and they gave someone $5 is what it was. I think it was Harvard did this research. They gave them $5 and they said, we want you to spend this money on yourself. Go buy yourself something. They followed them. They bought themselves a coffee. They bought some. And they asked them on a scale of 1 to 10, how happy are you? And they're kind of 4, 5, 6, kind of meh. Happy, right? And we're used to spending money on ourselves, so it didn't make a huge amount of impact. Then they took another group of people. They said, here's $5. I want you to spend that money on somebody else. So they follow people. Some people donated it, gave it to charity, or someone standing at the side of the street, or bought somebody a coffee, or did some. How do you feel? Happiness level? 8, 9, 10. And the research says spending money on somebody else is more valuable to us because we don't do it as much as we spend on ourselves. Now, I think the research missed out on a piece. Spending money on somebody else to do experiences with somebody else is another step again.
Yeah.
Okay. You anticipate it, you experience it, and you remember it. And that's what we need to spend our money on.
Okay. So now, you had two big experiences in the last while that kind of caused you to reflect on what was important to you. The first was a brain bleed. What happened?
So I fell getting out of a taxi. I was at a work leaving due, and not my work leaving due. And before anyone asked, no, I wasn't drunk.
Yeah.
I fell getting out of a taxi. I don't remember it. The first thing to hit the ground was my head, and I cracked my skull in three places. And I had a massive brain bleed and brought to Beaumont and had surgery. And it was a bit of a retake. Like, you kind of went, whoa. And actually, I didn't really realise how bad it was. I was out of it. It was one of those kind of, I was obviously in for quite some time, but it was about 18 hours between the incident and the surgery. And I'll never forget that those moments where you're kind of in and out of consciousness and you're looking at the ceiling all the time and you're just kind of open. You ever see one of those war movies where the eyes open up and the eyes close? And it just that image was just stuck in my head. And I remember the next morning, the doctor, the surgeon came around and he had a team of people and he said to me, I said to him, sorry, doctor, can you tell me when I'm going to be back to work? And he goes, in a while. And I said, oh, no, sorry, doctor, I work for myself. I need to know when I'm going to back to work. And he goes, no, sorry, you don't understand. I have you here alive. And he walked away. And I have to say, it just hit me then. I said, right. And I didn't even realise at that point they were still looking at me on an hourly basis to see if I was being rushed back to take more blood off my brain.
Yeah.
And it was a real reset. I really did get kind of, okay, what do I need to do and what do I need to change with life? And we have, like, there was a lot of things changed. I think you were watching a video earlier on about me and my dad and I had a bit of weight on and I've lost the weight since. And
how much weight did you lose?
About 3.5 stone. Okay. I lost a good bit of weight and I had done a marathon about 2 weeks before I banged my head. I'd done my 9th marathon, I think it was. And I had done
so you were a very fit guy, like.
Yeah, but that was my worst marathon. Now, it was the London Marathon. I did it for Temple Street. It was the London Marathon, and I had done it. It was 5 hours. Now, it was the year where it was 26 degrees. It was the hottest marathon ever. And it took me over 5 hours, and I hated it. Now, I'm kind of a 4-hour marathon runner, but I really wasn't. I had done no training. Work-life balance was wrong. And I made some decisions then and kind of said, right, I want to change some stuff. And I changed professionally and really went after kind of some goals and set some things down so that I wanted to do them. Like, I'd never done a TV show. I wanted a TV show. I wanted to write a book. I did the book. I had some goals with work and I wanted to try and get the work-life balance right. I haven't got the work-life balance right yet, but I'm working on that. And it was a moment where I kind of went to myself, right, I need to change stuff. And it's funny. Like, banging my head was a good thing now. Like, it really did make me think about life in a different way. And we've other things like, Brendan, my dad died in December. And that was another kind of big shock.
Yeah,
so it was a big shock to the system. And I think events like that really hit you. And you kind of go, okay, what are the important things in life and what are we trying to achieve? And particularly with Dad, like, I remember it was the Monday, he died on the 7th of December, but the previous Monday, I'm a financial planner. Like, I can't help him medically. I can't do anything else. But I did have to prepare Dad's finances to go in and talk to him about, Dad, this is where you are financially. This is what Mam's going to have. This is what it's going to look like. I remember when I was putting the documents together and I was going in to have a chat and I'm saying to myself, all the financial decisions he made in his life are actually on this piece of paper now.
Yeah.
And thankfully my mum is okay and everything is okay financially. But it was kind of everything I do in my life is about getting people's money to support the life they want to have. But ultimately it comes down to this. And actually it doesn't really matter at the end of the day. Like, it was just about spending
really,
time.
Yeah,
it really doesn't. And I know my career is about it, but it is genuinely, I think my attitude to money is very much around trying to get people to use their money to buy things that add value, but really to enjoy their life, to support the life that they want to have. And
because your dad's there, as we will all end up in that place, no one gets out alive.
Yeah.
And like, even people who have gathered and created a great legacy and everything, that's where you end up anyway. Like,
and we have that. Like, we'd have a lot of winners would come to me in private practice, or people have just sold their business, or people who have inherited money, and particularly people who come into money for the first time, like a big windfall of some description, and they come to us for financial advice. And the thing I try and drive home with them is, do you know all the stuff that made you happy in the past? that's the stuff that's going to make you happy in the future. Yeah. You just have more time to do it now. And the richer people and the more wealth people create, the one theme I see across them all is it's all about time now. It's not about money. And I know that's easy to say from their ivory tower, like they've got lots of money and they're looking and they're saying, oh, money's not important to me. It's time, because we can make more money. We can't make more time. I think that's something that really drove home to me, as because Dad was sick for quite some time. And as he was getting progressively worse, I really started to realise he's not really all he wants. He didn't even want to know what the numbers were. He just wanted to know, is Mam going to be OK?
Yeah,
and I was able to deliver that message. And that was comforting for him. And that's the only important thing about the money at that stage. Yeah. Everything else is irrelevant. Yeah.
It was a useful thing to be able to do, though, wasn't it? You know, people talk about that final, those last conversations and, you know, I told him I loved him and all that, but you were able to give him something useful to send him off with that he knew that
he
was
knew
okay.
That you, and funny, one of the calculations I did for him, like, I don't want to give too much away, but my poor mother, but I said, Mam can spend X amount more per month than she's currently spending and she'll still be okay. And the number was reasonable. He was going, that's great. And you could just see the contentment in him on that morning. And it was just me and him, and it was lovely. It was really, it was a nice moment, because professionally it was nice, but this is my dad, like. And it's interesting, because obviously with COVID it was really hard, but on the, I kind of think it was 4th of October, he brought me in, that we were allowed to go in. It was the last 15 minutes. This is it. You're saying goodbye to him. You've got 15 minutes with him. And I remember at the time saying, well, I walked out and at one stage he went to reach for my hand and I didn't hold his hand because of COVID. Now, I've seen my dad for the last 15 minutes. I remember walking out and I said, I never held his hand. I never held. And
oh,
I remember,
man,
I was really feeling, it was just a good, I can't hold his hand because it's COVID times.
Yeah.
And I remember going, that's the last time I'm going to see Dad. And Lazarus woke up the next morning.
Oh, glad.
And that was the 4th of October. And I got a good few visits with him. But it was like my brother started the eulogy in the church. And he said, I went into Dad and Dad said, this is it, David, we really need to get our financial affairs in order. We need to sort things out. And he says, I'm not going to get out of hospital this time. And that was 1993. Dad has been in and out of hospital for years. But he had a very bad heart. And we did, like, even COVID times, the hospitals were incredible. It was really, we got maybe 6 or 8 calls. This is the last moment. This is your last 15 minutes. And then you manage to get and do all the things. And by the end of it, I was hugging him and kissing him and everything. And he was like, I don't care.
Great. It's interesting, talking about him, and what you say about time being the important thing, and you haven't figured out the work-life balance yourself, but you're saying that everybody should take a month off. Now, I don't know how the employers in the country will feel about that, but it is a lovely idea, and in the context of what you've just been saying there.
Yeah, we'd particularly encourage people who are self-employed, people who are really tied to their job. Plan it, like say now, not this year, but maybe next August, I'm going to take a month off, or next October, or whatever suits your business. And take the month off because it's really good for you, because you're practicing. It's like we call it a little mini retirement, because there are stats out there that say for every year extra that you work beyond normal retirement age, it adds 11% to your life expectancy. Now, there's lots of reasons why that, and we could go into the details as why that is. But there's a lot of people who their whole meaning and purpose in life is work.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden they stop work and they're like, OK, what do I do now? And they lose a lot of meaning and purpose.
Yeah, yeah.
So we would always encourage people to take a month off, try and move it to 2 months if you can, and really practice retirement. Interestingly, for businesses have started to do this, particularly across the US, and they've been doing it for years. They haven't started to do it. And what they find is it's actually really good for the business, because they get a rejuvenated employee back, or business owner or director or senior personnel. And it tests the business as to how it will react without that person there. Like, if you think about me, the day I banged my head, my practice manager had just left on maternity leave.
Right.
I had a new member of staff in, and we had one other member of staff in the office. And that was it. That was the size of Prosperous at the time. I think we're up to 11 or 12 now, right? I think it's next week we'll be up to 12. But that was the size of the business. My practice manager was my right hand, and she was gone on maternity. And I was like, I'm sitting here going, how is my business going to survive? What am I going to do here? And I hadn't tested the organisation to have it working without me there. And the business stepped up and the people in the office were superb. And they just rallied around, and some external people came in and jumped in and came in once a week and gave them kind of a steer on this is what you need to be doing. And I was able to take a couple of months off and they were able to manage it. And guess what? It was still there when I came back.
It was fine. They didn't need you.
Yeah.
Listen, at that point, just random aside, was there a concern that your knock could be, as they say, life-changing?
Like, oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm sorry, nobody knew immediately what was going to happen. I had a lot of memory loss in the immediate couple of days afterwards. I remember saying to the consultant, I said, I can't remember the hour before the incident. And he says, an hour? Oh, that's good. People would often lose 3 weeks or 3 months or whatever. An hour is grand. I'm not worried about that. I did lose my taste and my smell, and I haven't really got them back. I've got them back probably maybe 60, 70%. And you know what else that happens then? I'm out running or something and I come around the corner and someone's cutting the grass and you smell the grass and you really notice it. You really feel, whoa, I can smell that and you really appreciate it. The other thing I did was I wasn't great for my variants of foods. And then I said, you know what? I can't smell. I can't taste. I'm going to try everything. And now I'm a much better eater. I know that's kind of a by the by.
Yeah.
But I really just said, you know what? I'm going to try and start to eat tough. And texture's become much more important to you. And even down to the smell, though, is the real interesting one. Because when you get a new smell, well, it's an old smell, but you're smelling it again for the first time. You kind of go, wow, that's really cool. Kind of, and you experience it again for the first time. And
okay, so it is like a movie where you're living life, discovering life all over again, kind of thing.
Yeah, and it is, and it's making things interesting again, I suppose, because you're doing them for the first time again.
And listen, your dad had a heart condition for a long time, and didn't work for years and everything. You have a similar heart condition, don't you? So I presume, as much as time is important, one of the things that gives us time is health. So, and then when your dad dies, you must feel a little bit more in the firing line, do you?
You do, and I'm the same age he was when he had his first heart attack. When he had his first quadruple bypass, I'm the same age as he was then. And you're kind of going, whoa. It's interesting, actually. Remember when it would have been, I think, 1982, and the professor was looking after him. There was a young student doctor standing beside him at the end of the bed. And the young doctor challenged the professor. In 1982, you didn't do that with a consultant, challenged him. And the young doctor actually won. Now, this dad told us this story. And the young doctor won, and the professor changed the route that they were treating dad and did something different. I'm sure it was something minor, but he changed. Yeah. And dad kind of go, whoa. That doctor, Brendan Foley, turned out to be then my dad's cardiologist when the professor retired. And Brendan Foley is now my cardiologist. And it's really nice. Now, I love Brendan Foley, but one of the things he has said to me, I've done 10 marathons, he won't let me do marathons anymore.
Yeah.
I'm allowed to run, but I'm not allowed to run for more than 2 hours. That's the only negative thing about Brendan, but he's a great doctor and he's treated my dad and he's been around for a long time and he's treating me now and I have the same condition. But the difference is I have the same condition, but we know about it and it's much more managed and it's controlled.
And what other limits are there on what you can do and can't do?
Just the 2 hours. Don't run more than 2 hours because the body function changes slightly and you start to burn fats and different things happen. But then it's just the ordinary cholesterol tablets and that's it, and just watch my diet and keep the weight off and that type of thing. But other than that, there's nothing else going on.
And I presume stress, though, is an important thing as well, is it? And I presume you do have a lot of stress. If you're running your own business and doing all this other stuff, books, TV, all that.
Yeah, so running is my stress reliever. That's what I do. And I go running and I enjoy it and I love it and I climb mountains and I do that type of stuff. But you have to get the balance right. You know, the thing, like sometimes I beat myself up about the work-life balance, but to be honest, I love work. Like I love doing what I do.
Yeah.
And I've just put someone in to run the business in Prosperous, and all I do now in Prosperous is client-facing stuff. I don't do any of the other stuff. And now I'm really happy.
So you're the pretty face of the organisation. They want to see the celebrity when they come in, is it?
They do all the hard work and I'm the jazz hands. That's how it works.
okay. You see, people will have been expecting you to come in and start telling us don't have takeaway coffees and don't do this and don't do that. But actually... It's a flip side of that message, or it's another kind of message, which is kind of live your life.
But that's what I've set out to do. I've gone out there and I've gone into this business because I had the unfortunate thing that Dad was able to, at 50 years of age, give up work. He had had a quadruple bypass when he was 42, 46. He had 3 stents, 48, a quintuple. He asked the doctor, what's going on? And the doctor said, it's stress and it's hereditary. Can you afford to give up work? And Dad was a civil servant. He was actually having income protection. At 50 years of age, he went out. He was on 75% of his wage. And he then, he started going in, driving the school bus to the school I was in and joined the parent teacher. And he was always around the school.
Oh, great.
And he got involved with Sister Stanislaus and what was then Focus Point, now Focus Ireland. And he did a lot of kind of really good things and really, really got into the community. But he was able to give up work. And I looked at that and I said, financial service. Now, I was 10 when he gave up, but when I came out of college, I went working in Irish Life, and they were the ones who were paying him his income protection. And I looked at it and I go, I'd like to have the same impact on families' lives as financial services had on mine. I got my dad for an extra 38 years. Like, I've no doubt about it, that we got extra time out of it because he had that income protection.
And that income protection is something that people would need to add on, basically, to their life insurance.
Yeah, life insurance specified.
Should everyone have it, do you think? Yeah.
But that's what I said. Financial services can really be used for good. Good financial planning can really be used to make sure people get the most out of their money. And for me to be able, I get to do it probably 5 or 6 times a year, where I turn around to a client and say, you've reached financial independence. It's the best day for me, because I'm saying, you now can go to work tomorrow if you want to, but you don't need to, because you have enough money to cover yourself for the rest of your life. And that's a real nice moment, and it can change things for people. Yeah. And you just, and it's even them little things, like, it's down to, there's a lady who always comes into my mind, and she has a son in New Zealand, and she has enough money, but she was kind of holding back on spending it, and she wanted to go and see her. So I said, go business class. Oh, I'd never spend on, no, go business class. Yeah. And I remember 6 months later getting a picture from her saying, I'll do this every year. And she was in business class coming back. Yeah. And that's life-changing stuff.
Okay, and listen, you're going to continue to change people's lives, probably far from business class, a lot of them, on another series of How to Be Good with Money, and you want people to come and participate in that.
Yeah, so How to Be Good with Money is coming back on TV screens in January, but we start filming this month. We're looking for 8 couples, 8 individuals, 8 households, it doesn't matter. And we're looking for a range of people. Either you're struggling or you're doing really well and you just want to get guidance. So if people are interested in being part of the show, money@indiepicks.ie. Or ring 01-7088-191 and chat to Helen, and she'll talk you through it.
Okay. Owen McGee, that was very unexpected and enjoyable chat. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
Let's
Brendan.
Take a break.
Text 51551. Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.